All right, welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, December 8th, 2017. And again, the phone lines are open. You can't ask him a question, can't ask Garrode a question because we don't have him for the second hour, but it's just always, man, it's so much information. I'm going to go through some of it, some of the information while we're waiting on the phones, but and then we'll kind of bounce around a little bit. As I said, so some things to kind of tie up some loose ends before we move on. again, Garrode Coleman, is his website. The domain is pronounced phonetically. It sounds like Garrode Coleman, so it's G, it's Gear, G E A R O I D O C O L M, as in Mary, AIN.org. That's his website. You'll find that 11-part series on coercive engineered migration there, and that's a term that Kelly Greenhill coined, I believe. Garrode has pointed to Kelly Greenhill's work. And she's kind of the subject matter expert, and he is, I would say, not far behind. So that's a great series. His Rohingya series, as you mentioned, you can find over at the American Herald Tribune, ahtribune.com. And that's a great three-part series, and he's written some other articles there. You heard him say he's going to write some more stuff there on Twitter. As he said, Broadford Soviet, B-R-O-A-D-F-O-R-D, Soviet, Broadford Soviet. And YouTube his channel is his name, Garrode Coleman, but again, pronounced phonetically Garrode Coleman. So you'll find him there. And there are all kinds of other videos sprinkled around YouTube that he's appeared on, because, you know, he's done appearances, done debates and things on Press TV and RT and other places. So check that out. The Gazification of the World, that's what's happening. Radley Balko's work, I think, is one of the best places to look for that. And even Radley Balko has talked about the fact that we are borrowing heavily from the Israelis, who, as I have said in the past, I mean, again, UNHRC, the United Nations Human Rights Council, even says that our two greatest allies, our dearest ally, according to the Mike Pences and the CNP crowd of the world. And I think that's one of the nuances that sort of gets lost. You know, there are factions, there are competing factions for power, and the CNP crowd usually kind of hangs out behind the scenes. There are a lot of folks in the CNP crowd, the Council for National Policy, that don't get their just due, so to speak. I don't think people realize quite the extent that the Council for National Policy operates. I'll give you an example of some of the names. Let's see. Oh, I don't know what I'm looking for. There we go. Let's see. Ed Meese, Foster Freeze, Frank Gaffney, Gary Aldrich, Gary Bauer, Holland Coors, Joe Coors, Herman Cain, James Dobson, Jay Sekulow, Jerome Corsi, Jerry Falwell, Jim Dement, John Singlaub, Joseph Farah over at WorldNet Daily, Kelly Conway, that's a name some folks recognize these days, Larry Burkett, Nelson Bunker Hunt, it's kind of a famous name. These are just a few of the CNP crowd. Pat Robertson, Paul Weyrich, Phyllis Schlafly, Rich DeVos, the husband of Betsy DeVos, obviously, education secretary, and of Amway fortune fame, I suppose. And, you know, good friends with folks like Eric Prince, Rick Santorum, Robert Welch, Sam Moore, Steve Forbes, Stuart Epperson, Tim LaHaye, Tim LaFever, Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch, who's a proud CNP member. Tom Minnery, Tony Perkins, Cleon Skousen. A lot of people don't know W. Cleon Skousen was a CNP guy. Wayne LaPierre over at the NRA. And Zudi Jazer. I was surprised to learn, I was surprised to discover recently that Zudi Jazer is a CNP guy. That's really interesting to me. I guess it's not entirely surprising, but it was a bit of a surprise. Zudi Jazer is one of the few people that you can find. If you go over to C-SPAN, the problem, when I say political Zionism versus Islam, or maybe, you know, what most would just call Zionism versus political Islam, because Zionism, Judaism is not Zionism, and vice versa. Orthodox Judaism is not concerned with the Talmud. It's concerned with the Torah. And there is this creeping Talmudic influence all over the place, especially with these CNP organizations. So Zudi Jazer is one of the folks. If you go to C-SPAN and you search the video library for Wahhabism, you can, if you go to c-span.org, you'll see that box. Search our video library. If you search Wahhabism, Whhabism, you get a couple of things. Q&A with Turki Al-Faisal. That's one. The Two Faces of Islam. And that's, I think, the book review, obviously, of Stephen Schwartz's book, which is a great book, by the way, on that subject. And there are some other remarks that you can find. And obviously you can trim that a little bit to just Wahhabi, you know, ism, and you'll find some more. But it's Zudi Jazer's appearance in Congress is one of very few that you'll find where someone actually makes a remark. I made a clip, I think. I'm not going to look for that right now, but so the point is, he's one of the guys that has spoken out against Wahhabism specifically. And people will say, yeah, you know, the Council for National Policy, I mean, they do a lot of good things. I mean, look at all of those great organizations and, you know, biblical literacy and orthodoxy and all that stuff. And I say, sure, great. That is great. But they're always on the Christian ideological side, so to speak, of political Zionism. They're always hardcore Israel people. You know, we got to support Israel. And I completely agree. We got to support Israel. But first we need to define terms. Which Israel are we talking about? Are we talking about Israel or is not real? Because the state of Israel is not the same Israel as the Bible Israel, if you follow me. Jacob had his name changed. God changed Jacob's name. to Israel. And so you have the nation of Israel, the tribe of Israel, the land of Israel, the people of Israel. It was not a nation. It was not a state. It was a person. Israel was Jacob's name change. So, you know, I'm not going to go off on the tangent, but, you know, you don't think of a person that has their name changed as a state. So anyway, they're always these hardcore State of Israel supporters, and that is the conflict. Just look around. If you can see through the fog and the haze of misdirection and propaganda, you will see that it's just simply this conflict fomented between these two sides that are perfectly matched, perfectly contrived, opposing forces, political Zionism and political Islam, as I would say, because Zionism is not Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, and Wahhabism is not Islam, Sunni, Shia, or whatever. And Wahhabism is the weapon of the day. Excuse me. So, those two sides are the sides of the conflict. And it's, again, it's interesting that if you go to the UN Human Rights Council Wikipedia entry, as I've said before, you'll find these words. As of 2015, Israel, the state of Israel, that is, the modern state of Israel, the modern geopolitical contrivance, has been condemned in 62 resolutions by the council since its creation in 2006. The council has resolved more resolutions condemning Israel than the rest of the world combined. Think about that. By April 2007, the council had passed 11 resolutions condemning Israel, the only country which it had specifically condemned. Again, this is not the biblical Israel. There is a partial hardening that Paul talks about in Romans 11:25, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, but that's, I would call it, the second ark moment. But that's a different deal. You know, we hear about these Ashkenazi folks. I mentioned Jordan Peterson yesterday, and I heard Jordan Peterson recently talk about how these Ashkenazi folks, they seem to test higher on the IQ spectrum, typically around 15 points higher. I think that's a contrived statistic. And here's why. Go listen to Jack Otto's last talk and others like it. In simple terms, the reason I would say it's contrived is because they're not cephalopods, as Jaron Lanier would put it. In other words, they are learning the lessons of history. They're passing information on, as George Santayana warned, but they're keeping everyone else in the dark. So they're really not that much smarter. In fact, I'd argue they're less smart. The real intriguers I'm talking about, not the run-of-the-mill folks who, you know, because there are some folks that are smarter than others. There's no question about that. But then there are some folks, I mean, I just read the story of David Rockefeller and his Rolodex. What was that story? David Rockefeller's Rolodex, Wall Street Journal story, was the stuff of legend. Here's a first peek. And man, I'll tell you, that's some spin. But you know, you get a picture of, go watch James Corbett's Big Oil series, CorbettReport.com/Big Oil, how Big Oil conquered the world, why Big Oil conquered the world, and go back to The original Rockefeller Dr. William Avery Devil Bill Livingston. Devil Bill. You go back a ways and you'll kind of get a flavor of that history. Anyway, David Rockefeller's Rolodex was a thing of mythical proportions. And so you get the idea that these guys record things. I'll give you a little excerpt from the Wall Street Journal story that I thought was provocative at the end. It says, it's just unbelievable. Well, let's see. Rockefeller recorded contact information along with every meeting he had with about 100,000 people worldwide on 3x5-inch index cards. He amassed about 200,000 cards, which filled a custom-built Rolodex machine, five-foot-high electronic device, et cetera, all kinds of names. This was a cheeky entry. Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State, garnered the most cards because he was among Rockefeller's best friends, of course, said Peter Johnson, the Rockefeller family historian. Close behind was Gianni Agnelli, the Italian industrialist who ran Fiat. During a lunch at his estate in 2015, Mr. Rockefeller gave Mr. Kissinger a copy of his 35 Rolodex cards. They contained descriptions of their hundreds of encounters since they first met in 1955. Isn't that fun? Several cards reveal some of the billionaire banker's more personal interactions. Mr. Rockefeller was studying at the London School of Economics in 1938 when he met Mr. Kennedy, the future president, and his sister Kathleen at a party held by their father, then the ambassador to Great Britain. Miss Kennedy got top billing. JFK, the first card said, is a brother. She was more important than JFK because Mr. Rockefeller dated her, and all the ladies said, ew, Mr. Johnson said. So Miss Kennedy was married. Miss Kennedy married a Marquess, was killed in a plane crash at age 28, which is unfortunate, and we won't get into that right now. Mr. Rockefeller learned of the importance of contacts while an Army intelligence officer overseas during World War II. My effectiveness depended on my ability to develop a network of people with reliable information, he wrote. Yeah, meanwhile, feeding unreliable information to the rest of the world, throwing people off the track so that you can benefit, right? But I digress. So continuing, skipping ahead. It's interesting, this little bit. Mr. Rockefeller's will requires that the cards and the rest of his papers remain hidden from public view for a decade after his death. Why? Well, remember, Carol Quigley wrote a book that was not supposed to be circulated as widely as it was. Talk more about that when we come back. Stick around.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Come walk with me through the pines in the morning sun. The birds are singing in the pines in the morning sun. Come stand with me, my darling one, among the trembling pines. We feel his presence all around, fire in the sky.
You can't hold, I'm too slippery. I do no sleeping, I get lonely. You can touch me if you want to. I got poison, just my body.
Welcome back. So, to conclude that thought real quick, Rockefeller's will, David Rockefeller's will, and again, this is the story, Wall Street Journal article, David Rockefeller's Rolodex was the stuff of legend. Here's a first peek. You got to wait 10 years for the rest. Anyway, Mr. Rockefeller's will requires that the cards and the rest of his papers remain hidden from public view for a decade after his death. The building blocks of history end up being constructed from material, like the Rolodex cards, Mr. Johnson said. That's Peter Johnson, the Rockefeller family historian. Take Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi of Iran, whom Rockefeller met in 1965. Mr. Rockefeller, and there's an entry earlier on that indicates that he had the Shah's contact information. So, you know, kind of laying the groundwork for this. Anyway, who met Rockefeller met in 1965. Mr. Rockefeller came under criticism for Chase's deep involvement with Iran after he helped persuade the Carter administration to help to admit the exiled Shah to the U.S. for cancer treatment in the fall of 1979. The banker likely visited him during his treatment. One of the Shah's Rolodex cards lists a private number for his New York City hospital room. Oh, you mean the Shah that replaced Mohammad Mossadegh, who renationalized oil from the British cartel takeover, and the same Mohammad Mossadegh who was ousted in the CIA's covert regime change action in 1953, and the Shah, this guy replaced him. And by the way, it was the same Shah that died less than a year after that hospital visit from the Grim Reaper. Anyway, it's an interesting bit of spin, I think, you know. Nothing about the real history there and why he really had these cards. I mean, if you know the history of the family, you know why he had these cards. I think some people maybe look upon this as somewhat affectionately or something. It's just bizarre, though. And so I would just add to that, Henry David Thoreau put it in Walden, we make curious mistakes sometimes. And I think it's interesting. It might have even been better to have David Rockefeller around. I kind of think sometimes Donald Trump scares me, and as bad as Hillary is, and she's awful, it might have been better to have her, because she's that sort of old guard. I've said this a few times in past national elections. Might be better to have those folks, because it's a predictable totalitarianism, so to speak, versus this reckless, starving kid in a candy store kind of approach where we just crash through the store and take it all. So before the internet, I think these guys wrote these sound bites and thought, you know, this will be clever and people will think this is great. But now we have the internet. And in 5 minutes, you can completely debunk that Wall Street Journal story. So I think it's interesting. Anyway, the gazification of the world, Riley Balko's work, body cam captures police dog attacking innocent woman, taking out her garbage, was the story that I was referring to. Desiree Collins is her name. And it's a horrifying story. Look that up. Washington Post story. You'll see her face is – she has this terrified look on her face. It's a screen grab from St. Paul Police video, body cam footage. And that's the title of the article, Body Cam Captures Police Dog Attacking Innocent Woman Taking Out Her Garbage. Think about that headline, Body Cam Captures Police Dog Attacking Innocent Woman Taking Out Her Garbage. 52-year-old Desiree Collins. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, More doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of this Friday, December 8th, 2017 broadcast. Again, it's yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day. Today is the Monday Congress declared war. Getting back into this story and then moving on. So, again, the headline, body cam captures police dog attacking innocent woman taking out her garbage. This in the spirit of the gazification that Garod Akolman was talking about when he was on earlier. The gazification, that's a great way to put it. And this story, body cam captures police dog attacking innocent woman taking out her garbage. This really says it all. But I'll give you the story. So story says Desiree Collins was taking her garbage out when she was attacked by a St. Paul police dog, Gabe. And I defy you to go look at the image of this poor woman. She's terrified. She's being traumatized, terrorized. Continuing, a Minnesota police dog was on the hunt, snout to the street, searching for traces of possible burglary suspects early on September morning. A 20-foot leash tethered the German Shepherd to an officer from the St. Paul Police Department. The two suspects were fleeing on foot, and Gabe, a 5.5-year-old dog with the police canine unit had been brought in to help law enforcement respond to a possible burglary in a neighborhood just west of downtown St. Paul. But when the canine darted past a garbage dumpster, screams suddenly filled the air. "Oh, there's a lady," one of the officers shouted, according to the footage from an officer's body cam. The dog's jaws were clamped around the right arm of Desiree Collins. I'm going to give you the whole story because it's just unbelievable. Dog's jaws were clamped around the right arm of Desiree Collins, a 52-year-old woman who happened to be taking out her garbage when the canine attacked. The animal hauled Collins to the ground, where she screamed and squirmed to break free as the dog refused to give. And what was the officer's response? "You're fine, you're fine," one of the officers tried to tell Collins over her pained shouts. "Please," Collins, eyes hitched wide in pain, "help me." And you can see her eyes hitched wide in pain in the photo, the screen grab from the body cam footage. After about 30 seconds, Gabe released Collins and the officers helped her up. "What did I do to him?" she asked. "Nothing," an officer consolingly answered, "just in the wrong place at the wrong time." Remember that phrase, the peculiar phrase that I always cite? And some people think, oh, you know, you're just, that's exaggerated. You're being sensational. When the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. Oops, sorry, just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But according to lawyers for Collins, the September 23rd canine attack was no simple accident, but the fault of the dog's officer, Thaddeus Schmidt. "What you have here is a completely innocent person taking out their garbage." "Yeah, but you don't understand, Mr. Lawyer. This is the administrative state. It's ministerial, inquisitorial, and you can sit down and shut up and do exactly as you're told." Tucker Carlson mentioned that the other night. That's the way the FBI behaves. And guess what? It's because that's the way the system is designed. It's completely antithetical to the orthodoxy of the Constitution, but I digress. Continuing, a completely innocent person taking out their garbage and a canine simply wasn't controlled, Andrew Knoll, Collins' attorney, told the Star Tribune this week. It should never have happened. Nope, it shouldn't have. Following the incident, Schmidt was suspended for a day for keeping Gabe on a long leash, allowing the dog to get out of sight, the Star Tribune reported. Oh, suspended for a day. Darn. On Wednesday, Collins filed a federal lawsuit against Schmidt in his official capacity as a St. Paul police officer. The complaint seeks unspecified damages for Collins' injuries from her run-in with the police dog. St. Paul police had apologized to Collins while she was being treated for her injuries at the hospital. Police Chief Todd Axel apologized again on Thursday. What happened to Mrs. Collins was a terrible accident that should not have occurred, the chief wrote in a statement. I am sorry it happened and that she was injured. As a department, we wish we could go back and do things differently. Unfortunately, we can't. What we can do is apologize and take responsibility. That's nice. Are you going to take personal financial responsibility? No, that never happens. This is not the first time the police department has ended up in court over a canine attack. Now, see, here's where the gossification starts to come in. Last March, St. Paul police agreed to a $2 million settlement. But wait, is it the St. Paul police that pay that? Do they all reach into their own personal pockets and pay that? No, they don't, do they? St. Paul police agreed to pay a $2 million settlement with a man kicked and bitten by a police dog in June 2016. In March 2016, the city paid out $200,000 to a woman bitten by a canine dog charged in her backyard. Charged in her backyard and bit her on the arm. I think it's supposed to be Wen, something in there. The lawsuit filed by Collins says that before latching onto her right arm, the police dog bit her left leg. But see, this is the part where I said it gets better. Just wait. Causing multiple injuries. The injuries were particularly difficult for Collins, the lawsuit said, whose left hand had been previously amputated due to burns sustained as a child. The dog injured her good arm, meaning it was hard for Collins to change her bandages. That is on her amputated arm. Doesn't that just, I mean, just unbelievable. And Collins' lawsuit, which alleges her Fourth Amendment rights were violated in the attack, she charges the officer should have been aware of this and also the specific danger to innocent people caused by the use of the long lead. Since he had his canine bite another person, since his canine bit another person in August of 2016, for which he received supervisory counseling. So here's the fun part. Police told Fox 9 that after the incident, Schmidt and the canine were sent to training for a month. They are still on duty with the police department. So let me guess. Schmidt didn't have to pay for his own training, right? The city paid for his training. The city paid for his initial training and for the canine training. And I haven't looked into it, but I would speculate that somewhere in there, St. Paul has some kind of Israeli tactical training somewhere, whether directly or indirectly, I'll bet you. And so the city didn't pay for the remedial, or excuse me, the officer didn't pay for the remedial training himself, I'm sure. The city paid for that. The city obviously paid for the $2 million settlement in June of last year and the $200,000 settlement in March of last year. City's paying for that. City's paying for the training, the remedial training, the settlements. Stockholm syndrome come to mind for anybody? I mean, this is insane. This is not okay. And some will say, but there are, you know, there are good officers. Yes, there are. And you know what? Honestly, that's probably doing more harm than good at this point, because the system is designed to create bad guys in just the same fashion that Garode Okoman and I were talking about. In just the same fashion, this is a system that is scientifically engineered, literally, in cybernetic totalist fashion to create these kinds of bad guys and call them anomalies when it's the rule, not the exception. And then the good guys are referred to in rule instead of exception fashion. Does that make sense? Go read Philip Zimbardo's The Lucifer Effect. Go watch the Stanford Prison Experiment and understand that was just a validation, was a verification of what Stalin was doing, for example. You know, friends killing friends. And getting back to the Zionist discussion and folks like Ben Shapiro that are confused, you need to understand the Zionist connection in Zionist Russia and the Stalinist era. But again, I digress. So it's just a confirmation of the Stanford Prison Experiment. It's just a confirmation of human behavior, how it works. So it is a system that's scientifically engineered to create this kind of behavior in Gazification fashion. Read Radley Balko's stuff before people rush off and say, oh, that's outrageous. That just can't be true. Go read up a little bit. Read Radley Balko's work. Go study up. Read The Lucifer Effect. Watch the Stanford Prison Experiment. Just go read it. Read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. This is we have an archipelago. If you start to understand the concept, the operative concept, you'll see it is the same kind of linkage that Solzhenitsyn was writing about that we have here in America. It's unbelievable. This story is not an anomaly. I've talked in the past about how Blackwater bought the Backup Training LLC, which at the time bragged itself, the Backup Training LLC, headquartered in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, as the world leader in CD-ROM-based law enforcement training. Blackwater, a company that got in so much trouble it had to rebrand itself and then rebrand itself again to get away, to try to shed that reputation, still hasn't shed it. That's the organization that is training our law enforcement and military and other folks related. That we've done talk several times about how we're sending people to Israel and we're bringing their people over here. These are the people that have the worst record, according to the UN Human Rights Council, on the planet, the worst record on the planet of how they treat people. And we're having them train our officers, which is why it's as horrifying as it is, it's not surprising when I read the words, she's being dragged to the ground by a dog, this innocent 52-year-old woman, Desiree Collins. She's screaming, terrified, and the officer is saying, you're fine, you're fine. You're fine, you're fine. Have you lost all touch with emotion and reality and compassion, sir? She's not fine. She's screaming. She's terrified. She's terrorized. She'd probably be traumatized for the rest of her life after this. You know? And when you do enough of this, like my guest and I were talking about earlier, you do enough of this to a certain class of people, then obviously you get them all stirred up. You poke enough people in the nose, calling it an accident. How many times can you say it's an accident before finally someone says, look, you do it again, and I'm going to smack you back. And, you know, the way this system is designed, the moment someone says, knock it off or I'm going to smack you back, then they scream in gazification fashion, oh, terrorist, terrorist. He said he was going to commit violence. No, let's back up a little bit before that moment and include the 20 times you kept poking me and I said, knock it off. That's the gazification of the world. In a nutshell, in this story, In the Washington Post, is a perfect example. Let's go to the phones and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, Chris, I just come in at the bottom of the hour, and I'll be brief and be gone. You know, about 99.9% of what you do, I agree with. But anyhow, you cover a lot of ground, but I don't know if you're aware of, but silent weapons or quiet wars. But La Guevara, it took an hour. He played it on his show, and it takes, you know, eats up an hour of time. But you can go to the website and stopthecrime.net or just Google or start page silent weapons for quiet wars. And I put it down to favorite so I could read it because it's kind of difficult to follow. Anyhow.
Absolutely.
Maybe been there, go there, but and that covers it for me, Chris.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Fred. Absolutely. I mean, that's a fantastic citation, and it's floating around in different places.
Have you been there yet?
Yeah, I have, and there are different copies of that floating around. There's actually – isn't there a copy on the Bureau of Labor and Statistics website, I think? I'm pretty sure.
Well,
BLS.gov.
People wanted to go there on their own. You know, it might be helpful. You know, some of the stuff that you do that I think it probably might be – a little difficult for people to follow, but it explains a lot. Anyhow, I'm not going to take any more time. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. It's always great to hear from you, and I hope you have a great weekend. Yeah, you know, one other thing. We'll go back to the phones real quick. In the break, Garod Okoman mentioned Abby Martin. He was going to talk about Abby, I think, in the first segment. First break, he said that, and I thought of her retweet of one of Ben Shapiro's tweets from 2010. She retweeted 2 days ago. And her comment was spoken like a true genocidal maniac, gleefully endorsing ethnic cleansing. And back in 2010, I think his sentiments haven't changed. And it's how you can lose respect for an intellectual in about, well, one tweet. And his tweet says, Israelis like to build, Arabs like to bomb crap and live in open sewage. This is not a difficult issue. Settlements rock, #. And that's just, I'm speechless, you know? That's unfortunate. So I think Gabby Martin is right. It's unfortunate. You know, we shouldn't be doing this. We should be bridging these gaps instead of driving wedges between ourselves. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Jim in Illinois. Jim, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, morning, buddy.
Morning, Jim. Yes, sir.
Anyway, I'm no expert at any of this stuff, but I did read a Wikipedia article, and I may have stayed at a specific motel once or twice in my life. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it just reeks of conquest written all over the wall. And this goes back into the depths of time of the priests and priestesses, those people we look to as leaders, and are unwilling for whatever reason. And I'm speaking generally, please, you know, and I try to avoid absolutes, but, you know, unfortunately, I'll probably step right in a pile of one. But people are terrified to self-govern, okay? Is that, you know, by design or economic reasons, lack of knowledge, who knows, you know, a combination of those two and a bunch of others. managed migration or engineered migration, as you have referred to, that has gone on for, you know, a long, long, long time. Again, reaches back into the depths of time. That is done to create dissension amongst peoples and always have a ready source of tension that can be tapped into at any given time. So, you know, and the thing about the dog biting, you know, this lady, man, that's just terrible. But people prior to April 19th, 1775, you know, you look at the history, and I can't think of any specific things right off, but you go back 100 years prior to the shots being fired at Concord and Lexington. The colonists were having to put up with, you know, some bad behavior by the administrative state for over 100 years before it finally, you know, came to a head, and they said enough is enough, you know. And, you know, I do believe the Declaration of Independence, which was done a year after the first shots were fired, indicates there that people will put up with a lot of crap for quite some time, you know. And it also reminds us that we don't just go off on some trivial matter. But at that point in time, the Declaration, the Articles of Confederation, the Northwest Ordinance, and finally the Constitution were memorialized. And, you know, all it basically did was state the natural law as given or laid out by the Creator himself. herself, whoever, whatever you want to, you know, but there's a higher power, period, you know, and man is not it. Man only is able to exert that type of force through conquest, you know, it's violence.
Right. But
that's basically all I had to say. You want to chime in there, bud?
Yeah, I would say less so. You know, you go back 100 years or so, like you said, you know, you have this kind of the Sabbateans coming on the scene. You have folks like John Dee, Francis Bacon, and the intriguers that were sort of gathering power, so to speak, coming into the 18th century. So I don't think it was as bad. But now these guys have been studying the art of war like no other time in history, I would say, for over a century. They keep making think tank after think tank to try to find a way to manipulate people, whether by hard power or soft power or smart power, the perfect combination of manipulation at the end of a gun. So it's different in that sense. And coercive engineered migration is Kelly Greenhill's term for it. And I think you can see it engineered, the way that she puts it, in a way that we haven't seen before, because they have so much control. And there's a lot that I didn't get into today that I wanted to. And when you see how this all is working, yes, there was power in the past, but not like the strings that are being pulled today. For example, China's, you know, we've talked about Saudi Arabia's Neom project, $500 billion city on the strategically anchored at the confluence of the the Gulf of Suez and the Gulf of Aqaba.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And on the Red Sea. It's right there in that route of the new Silk Road that China wants to build, which is a $1 trillion project. And then you start to look at all of these plans that have been made for decades now. And that new Silk Road, China's new Silk Road, they're going to try to complete by 2049. All of those spots start to line up and make sense. And so to destabilize the world and be able to remake it the way you want, to basically start with, you know, kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch, you know, shaking it up, moving everything around so that you can start fresh. We know it's Ordo Ab Kahlo, but I think they're doing it hardcore in a way they haven't before, if that makes sense.
You got another caller, or you want to hold me over for a second?
Actually, that's the end of the broadcast. I'd love to hold you over, but we're out of time for this broadcast.
Hey,
thanks. Well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate your call. I hope you have a great weekend too, folks. I hope you all have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.